I enjoy reading history and just about anything that has to do with history, and looking at the way that history so often creates our present and even opens up the way for our future. And I think historically that's probably seen especially in scenes of battles that have taken place throughout the history of the world, and how those have set the stage for change and for things that are new. I think of in 1066 at the death of Edward the Confessor, when Harold and William, Duke of Normandy, met outside of Hastings in the southern part of Great Britain to fight that battle and to determine who would be the successor, who would be the next king of England. And at that point, with the victory of William, sets in place a dynasty that comes down to our very day, to the very present, and just how that was a turning point in history. Where in the 1800s, the Battle of Waterloo, where Napoleon tries to reassert himself in Europe, and he's met with the Allied forces, and there the Duke of Wellington confronts him outside of Waterloo in Belgium and defeats Napoleon, crushing France's desire to, or not their desire perhaps, but at least their ability to dominate Europe. Napoleon is defeated and exiled. And you know, just moments where history changes. And in our own history, the Battle of Yorktown, who would believe in 1781 that a group of ragtag revolutionary soldiers could defeat one of the most powerful empires on the face of the earth, and yet Cornwallis is defeated. Or the turning point of the Civil War, July 1st through 3rd, in 1863 at the Battle of Gettysburg. Moments where history just takes a turn, where a new future is set out. Or, of course, in more recent times, a day that many of you lived through, June the 6th, 1944, the largest seaborne invasion in the history of the world, a D-Day that changes things, that sets out a new future because of those battles. Each of these is a major turning point. Each one of them changes the present, but also sets out a new future for the people who've lived through them. But there are other battles. There are other battles that you and I face personally that aren't found in books and aren't found in history books, but they are decisive battles nonetheless, and they are real. They affect our present. They affect us today. They set the course for our future and oftentimes open up a future that may have even been better than we could have imagined. And actually, there is a book that contains these stories, or at least some information about the nature of them, and that is this book. This book is our history book. It is our spiritual history book, and it tells about those great battles of God's people and foreshadows the battles that you and I are going to face. As Peter would remind us, there is someone who stands behind every attack that comes against us. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in your faith. And Paul would remind us of what really lies behind every attack, every temptation, every difficulty that we face. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Ephesians 6:12. These are the battles that we face, and we face them every day, and they come in a variety of ways into our lives. One of them, the daily version of it, is just temptation. Every single day, Satan is after us. Satan pursues us. He knows our weaknesses. He sees where he perhaps could get a foothold in our life, and he longs to do that because he longs to destroy the work of God. And so we face those daily battles, every one of us, every single day of our lives. We know that kind of attack. Those attacks come through trials and temptations, through situations that we face in our lives that Satan would use to destroy us, to ruin us, and God would say, let me use that moment in your life to strengthen you and to help you build, and to help you be strong. And we think of those events that we face in our lives. We face them individually. We face them as a family here. The loss of people that are so dear to us, that we cherish, that we love, that we miss so much and leave such a gaping hole in our own lives here on this earth. We think of illnesses. We think of the diseases that people face and the treatments that folks undergo. All of these sorts of things. Family issues that so many of us are dealing with on our own. and we face these things. They're spiritual battles. And sometimes they're individual. Sometimes it's my spiritual battle. It's what I'm facing. Sometimes it's a family going through something together. Sometimes there are battles that face and encounter the entire church, the people of God. And those internal struggles that we face all the time, our faith versus our fear. And we wonder sometimes because it's hard to see God's hand at work in things. And we struggle to know, is God really going to bring us through this? Is God really going to answer this? Can I really maintain hope in a situation that seems so full of despair and hopelessness? And our hearts cry out at times to God with those kinds of questions. And we wonder, and the battle rages. The battle rages in us, but the battle rages in the heavens and on the earth. Yes, that's what Paul said in Ephesians 6. These battles are not just on the earth, in us, and in our lives, but they are reflected in the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. We need to know that because we are citizens of the kingdom of God, our lives are caught up in a cosmic conflict. I appreciate so much the songs that Willie led us in. I haven't sang Battle Hymn of the Republic since I can't remember when, and what appropriate words, because he knew we were talking today about a passage about war, about the battles that we face as Christians, and those strong songs of victory and faith in God. But those battles go on, and we wonder if we can win. We wonder if we can have victory because we seem weak, and the enemy sometimes seems so very strong. And then, honestly, so often in the world, we see evil triumphing for a season, and we wonder, can righteousness prevail? And the scriptures tell us this: righteousness will prevail. The justice of God will be served. The people of God will be victorious, not on our own efforts, but by the power of our Almighty God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what our spiritual history book tells us over and over again. God's people will have victory through Jesus Christ. It's been decided. There has been a battle already. There has already been a battle, and Satan has been defeated by the power of Jesus Christ and His rising from the dead. And that's a victory that we live in the assurance of today. 1900 years ago, our brothers and sisters faced a very difficult time, an amazing and fierce battle, a battle for their souls, a battle for the survival of the church and the faith of individuals. It was a time of growing persecution. It was a time when Christians would often lose their property, where businesses were being boycotted, and ultimately people lost their lives for Jesus Christ. People were put to death because they worshiped our Lord Jesus and were faithful. And the Holy Spirit gave to the Apostle John a series of visions that he recorded for the church in the late first century to send a message to the believers. And it's a message of power and of hope and of victory in the midst of battles that so often leave people hurting. It's a great battle, a spiritual battle at the heart of those visions that we're going to read about this morning. If you want to follow, you can open up to Revelation chapter 12. It is a battle, like all spiritual battles, that's carried out on earth. It's through real people and real lives and actual events in people's lives, but at the same time, it is reflective of a war that rages in the heavenly realms. And even now, as they did then, as we face our own struggles, our own battles, we face the same kind of attacks. We realize Satan has fought against God from the beginning of creation, from the Garden of Eden. He has fought against God. He fights against the plan of God, the purposes of God. He's fought against the Christ of God. He fights against the church of God and those who make up that family. He has continued to do that. But God has a plan in Jesus Christ that promises victory. We are jumping into the middle of one of the most confusing books in the Bible. I understand that. And I don't want us to get caught up in unnecessary detail today, but to feel the impact of the scene, because this is a passage that tells us of battles past and battles present. Revelation 12:1. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its heads, and his tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child. The moment it was born, she gave birth to a son, a male child who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1260 days. This woman is about to give birth, this woman whose destiny is to bring into this world the Messiah, this child. This is the people of God. This is the elect. This is true Israel, who existed for this very purpose, to bring the child, the Messiah, into this earth to bring about salvation. That is her destiny. And against her comes this dragon that is identified in verse 9 as that serpent from the garden, Satan himself, who wants to defeat God's plan. He wants to destroy this child. He doesn't want this child to be born, and if he's born, he's going to devour him. He wants to bring the plans of God to nothing. And he has horns, and he has crowns that signify power, and he has such a formidable, mighty enemy that his tail alone sweeps a third of the stars out of the heavens. He is powerful, and he wants to devour the child that we know in this amazingly apocalyptic image is the coming of the Savior Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who will rule the nations with a rod of iron, who snatched up to God because of his resurrection from the dead, because of his ascension into the heavens. He is raised to victory. And the woman then flees to the desert, a place prepared by God, where she will be cared for. In a recurring image throughout the book of Revelation for 1260 days, an image of 3.5 years, which just means God's people are persecuted. They are pursued by Satan, but God protects them, and God will not allow them to come to ultimate harm. And there is a sense in which the entire story of the universe, everything that is at stake in the universe, is wrapped up in those 6 verses of Scripture. That's really what it comes down to. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. That great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Oh, there's a heavenly battle. Michael and his angels against the dragon and his forces. And we're being told here that Satan's defeat is in heaven. Satan loses because he can't stand against God and against the powers of God and his angels in the heavenly realms. And God has secured a victory for his people. Satan can't do anything about that. He's been defeated. Elsewhere, the New Testament will tell us that happened at the cross. In Colossians 2:15, Jesus publicly humiliates and shows his triumph over all evil. Triumphing, Paul says, over them in the cross, in his death for sin that takes away God's punishment, and in his resurrection. And whether you're a first century Christian who's undergoing Roman persecution, such as the people who received John's letter or revelation in the first century, or it's the spiritual battles that you and I are facing today, what this passage is telling us is the defeat of the evil one is already certain, that it's been taken care of. However, the passage goes on to say, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ, for the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short." There's a great hallelujah in heavens because the Satan, the dragon, has been cast down. He's lost his place. He's lost that power. He's been defeated by the forces of the heavenly realm. But then we're told that the people on earth are still subject to his attacks. Now, they can overcome. And we're told how they can overcome: by the blood of the Lamb, by the forgiveness they have through Jesus Christ and his atoning work. They overcome by the word of their testimony, that they stand for the lordship of Christ and live a life in keeping with his lordship. They overcome because their faith is such that they will not even shrink from death. If it comes down to losing their life to be faithful to Jesus, they will give up their life for Christ. And in that kind of faithfulness, the church is promised victory. But do you hear the warning there? He's come down to the earth. Well, what is he going to do now? Well, the passage says he knows his time is short, and so he is enraged against those that he finds on the earth. He will ratchet up his efforts against the people of God. And that's what follows in verse 13. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given, notice how the woman is pursued by Satan, but then she's delivered by God. The woman was given the two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert, where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and half a time. There's that image of protection again, of the 3.5 years. She would be out of the serpent's reach. And then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. We see the pursuit. Satan's cast down to the earth. He doesn't give up. He is enraged. He's failed to consume the child. He's failed to stop the initial stages of the plan of God. So he comes against the church, and God delivers the church. God delivers, sending wings of eagles to take her, swallowing up a flood that would wash her away. And so Satan then says, I'll make war with the rest of her offspring. The church is standing, so what will Satan do? He will look at the individuals who make up the church, and he will bring his attack to them. And that, brothers and sisters, is us. That's what he does. God has established the church. Jesus Christ reigns in heaven. Satan's only hope now is to attack us as individuals within that eternal plan of God. And if we had time, which we don't today, to read the next verse in chapter 13, verse 1, we would see how in the first century, Satan brought his attack against our brothers and sisters. But Revelation tells us here that the time is short. Satan's time is short, not in duration. You want to say, it's been 2,000 years. What do you mean his time is short? That's a long time. But his time is short isn't talking about duration, but it's talking about power and ultimate effectiveness. Ultimately, this dragon is destined for the fire, and he knows it. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, that's where the dragon is thrown, and he is destroyed. The devil has been defeated. He has been exposed. He has been doomed by the work of Jesus Christ in the cross and in the resurrection, and he is destined for fire. Meantime, however, and that's an important meantime, isn't it? We face the attacks. We face his wrath, the temptations that he would work through, the problems that we face and are given different options of how we're going to handle them. We face it. We live in it. We live in it every single day of our lives. But we're told we can have victory. We can have victory through the blood of the Lamb. We can have victory because every one of us is going to fall in this battle, but every one of us can be forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. We can have victory because we will continue to be faithful witnesses and give our testimony that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and our lives will reflect that lordship. We can know that victory because we, if our faith is such, will not even shrink back from death if it were to come to such a thing. That we will stand with God and with the Lamb. What we're told in this passage And what we're reminded of every day in our own lives is that Satan is real. Satan is active. Satan is angry. Satan is desperate. Satan wants to destroy you. He does. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy me. He wants to destroy the church. He wants to destroy the church in general. He would want to destroy any meeting of that church in particular. That's what he does. He stands against God. He's been fighting against God since he was cast out. He is one who longs to thwart the plan of God, but he does know that he's doomed. And because of that, his rage is increased. And our daily battles, whatever your battles are and mine, whatever's going on in your life today on that line, it is a reflection of the battles that have raged in the heavenly realms and continue to do so. There are dark spiritual forces of evil that long to attack you and me. That's what Paul says in Ephesians 6. He's not just being figurative here. He's telling us there are real powers of darkness and evil that want to destroy the people of God. And we need to be aware of that. We need to be looking out for that and preparing our hearts and our lives to stand against, to be those soldiers of Christ who arise with our armor on to stand before that onslaught. We're also told here at the same time that the battle is won, that God has defeated the evil one already in the cross of Jesus. And we see ultimately, as he foretells the destruction of that dragon in the fires of hell. And so it's a story, even though it's a story of battle and a battle that continues, that reminds us that God is ruling, that victory is won, and that we share in that victory through Jesus, through our faith in Jesus Christ. These battles that you and I face and how we navigate them and how we come through them with the help of God, they are what open up our future before us. We're all going to fall along the way. We all have. But the question is, what do we do when that happens? Do we get back up by the power of God, by the blood of the Lamb? Do we commit to continuing our word of testimony? That's what we all are called to do, to be empowered by God. We tend our wounded soldiers as we fight together, knowing that God is guaranteed a victory by what he's already done in Jesus Christ. If you and I, as we're struggling today, if there are things in our life that we need to ask our church family to pray for, to talk about, to let people in on, to let them know, to ask for power to overcome, that's why we're a family. That's why one of the reasons we assemble is to encourage each other in that path. If there are any today who need that kind of encouragement and prayer, we invite you to come in a moment as we'll be singing. If you've never yet been cleansed by the blood of Christ, it is time today to profess him, to confess him with your lips, and then to profess him with your life. To confess him as the Son of God, as the Lord of Lords, as the King of Kings. And to know that God longs to be glorified by bringing you through every attack, through every setback in your life, to secure your ultimate victory in Jesus Christ. As soldiers of Christ, let us arise. Let us put our armor on. Let us stand together. Let us live faithfully, that to God might be the glory. And may you and I determine that regardless of what has happened in the past or in the present, that we will stand firm in our faith in Jesus Christ. If there are any who need to come to that Lord and Savior, we invite you as we stand and sing together.